should have been talking to him.
I am late to the ball game. I'm having too much fun this morning. Good morning. How are you all doing? Is my mic on? I'm doing good. Yeah, okay. I think I can hear myself. Well, welcome. It's good to see you all, and what a blessing it is. This is just a wonderful week that's coming up for so many different things that are happening in the life of our church. I know we're expecting a baby in the church, new baby from one of our families, so that's fun. We're excited to celebrate that. We're also going to get a little taste of fall, a little cooler weather, which I'm really, really glad about that. And with the fall often comes all kinds of wonderful, it's a busier time in the year. And as our kids have scurried off to school, or grandkids have scurried off to school, we are doing lots more things here at church too. Wanted to just give you a couple of really quick little reminders. These are all in the e-news, and you can get more details about them then. But first is, we're going to have a church membership Sunday on September 21st. And if you would love to be a part of this church family as a member, but you maybe just would like to do it with other people standing with you, the 21st is a great Sunday for you to do that. I know I already have four folks already signed up and they're ready to go, so you won't be alone. So that's a great thing, September 21st, if that interests you. That evening at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a potluck. We're going to have fried chicken. And church is going to provide the chicken and the drinks. You bring a side, and we're just going to have a good time together eating. This week on Thursday, there is an event going on called Hands Across Lexington, and it begins at noon. And Stu Johnson would like to provide transportation to that event if you'd like to go. Stu's going to be driving one of our church buses. If you want to participate and be here, probably 11, 11:15, kind of gather and look for Stu, and you'll leave here at 11:30 to be there. You're going to go to Nathaniel Mission to participate there, and it's at noon. So that's this Thursday. Also, Children's Sunday School is going to be starting up on September 7th. Here's another fun one. A lot of good dates. I was telling somebody this week, as you know your church is really thriving when you have all kinds of things going on. And I love this. September 28th is Guatemala Sunday Celebration Day. So Stu and Polly and I will be sharing photographs with you during the service and telling our stories about Guatemala with you all. So it's going to be a great day of celebration. Finally, September 23rd, this is also in e-news, we're going to have a UK Wesley Foundation work day. And if you'd like to help out, do some painting and some yard work for the Wesley Foundation, who we help support, that's a great opportunity to do that. Now I want to invite you to stand and greet one another, share the peace of Christ with each other this morning. Almighty God, we thank you, Jesus, for your presence with us in this place. Thank you so much for the joy of greeting one another and seeing each other's faces. We thank you, Lord, for those who are worshiping with us online this morning, wherever they might be in the world. And we pray that they will experience the movement of your Spirit and your blessing as well in their life. For Jesus, today you have a powerful word for us as a church, a word that touches all of our hearts so deeply. And so, Lord, just prepare us to hear you speak to us in these ways. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Come, all you who are struggling. Come to worship a God who heals your pain.
Come to worship a God who gives forgiveness.
Let us worship God who sets us free and gives us new life. Together the Apostles' Creed, remembering that this is said all over the world.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body.
down. Got lots of kids today, don't we? You feel better. Okay, I brought my sermon in a sack this morning. What do you think I've got inside here? Cameras? No, no cameras. No? I'll show ya. You know what these are?
Boxing gloves.
Boxing gloves, that's right. And you know what? These are recommended for ages 3 and under, I believe, because we started them early at our house. Have you ever been in a fight? No? Good. Well, sometimes boxing gloves represent something good. Like every time I go see my doctor, he kind of pretends he has boxing gloves and he says, "You keep fighting to stay well." And so that kind of fighting is important. That's good. But they can also be used for bad. And you know what? Every once in a while, Pastor John or pastors at other churches need to have a pair of boxing gloves because people get obstreperous at church. Do you know what obstreperous is? You know what cantankerous is? Maybe a little upset. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Well, a little sad, but usually that what we're talking about is people who kind of get mean. And they make a problem out of something that doesn't need to be a problem. And that happens every once in a while, not only at church, but it might happen at your school or maybe even at your house. People are in a bad mood and they just make a problem out of something that doesn't need to be a problem. And the story that we're reading about in the Bible today is about Jesus doing a very good thing for somebody. And it was a lady who had been sick for a very long time. And Jesus healed her and made her better. That's a good thing, isn't it? But there was some cranky old codger standing over watching. And he decided he was going to make a problem out of that. And he said, "He shouldn't have done that." And he put on his boxing gloves and started to pick a fight. And the reason he said that was because Jesus healed this lady on the Sabbath. And you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. But he did a good thing, and God was glorified. So what? No, just figuratively, he put on his boxing gloves. But we do that a lot. And sometimes we make problems out of things that don't need to be problems. And if something good happens, and if God is glorified, that's what really matters, isn't it? So let's try to do something good in every day and try to be nice to each other and help each other along life's way. And as we do that, God will be glorified. And we won't need these boxing gloves nearly as much. Will you remember that? Okay, let's have a prayer together. Lord God, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for the way you work in our lives every day. Help us to be your instruments of love and help each other along life's way. And God, as we do good things for each other, may you be glorified in all things. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thanks for coming down. And I think Miss Hannah has something good for you up in Children's Church.
Church family, it can be so difficult to accept God's radical love for us. We don't think that that type of love makes sense. We don't think that God can love us for who we are, despite our many faults or failings. But God sees us and knows us and loves us unconditionally. So as we go to Him in confession of those things that hold us back from our full potential of living in God's kingdom and separate us from God, let us keep that spirit in mind. Lord Jesus, you are always present with us, loving us unconditionally. Yet we hesitate to accept such love, choosing instead to look for rules and regulations that dictate our goodness. Forgive us, O Lord, and free us to joyfully receive your love. Lord Jesus, you have come to bring good news to the poor, proclaiming that the captives will be released, the blind will see, and the oppressed set free. Yet, receiving this good news is often impossible to comprehend, and we struggle to accept the grace that you freely offer to each one of us. Forgive us, O Lord, and free us to joyfully accept your grace. Lord Jesus, we often feel unworthy to be called your disciples. We fear rejection and are hesitant to offer your love to those around us, especially those who so desperately need your healing touch. Forgive us, O Lord, and give us the courage to joyfully express your love and care to all whom we meet. Hear the good news. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, loves us unconditionally. He stands ready to forgive our sins and frees us to be true and faithful disciples.
In the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
Christ. We so appreciate what he tried to do for us, teach us, be for us. He said that he was our shepherd, and He knew us, and we knew him. And oh, how true that is. Oh, how true it is that he has been there for us, leading us, causing us to be able to lie down in green pastures where we would be fed and cared for, leading us to the still water. And oh, how many times has he restored our souls. And we are so grateful for that. Lord, we want to be on your team with Jesus as our coach. We want to be able to do good, to reach out to lives around us, to be able to make a difference in those lives, to share the love with them that you shared with us. Oh, because we have each experienced what your love in our lives could do for us. And we want to be sharers of that love, sharers of your good news, for we are so grateful. We lift up members of our church who have experienced death, who are experiencing illness, brokenness. Lord, we pray that you would go into each of those lives and give to them your spirit. Help them to know that you are there beside them with your arms around their shoulders, holding them tightly and encouraging them on. We lift up our church. We pray that you would use us as your team. Help us to go out and to share at all times your goodness as your team. We lift up our city, our state, our nation. Lord, make us one with you. Help us to be able to share your love in all ways and everything that we do. And we lift up our world. We pray for those starving in Gaza. We pray for those living fearfully in Ukraine. So many places around the world need your love, and we ask that you would use us to share that love with all those places. We ask that you would make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to do the consoling, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And now, O God, we pray the prayer which Christ taught his disciples to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We now invite our ushers to come forward.
Jesus, pour out your holy blessings upon us as we come to you and gather around your throne and hear from you today. See us, O Lord. Bless us. Touch us, we pray. We also pray that you will bless these offerings for your kingdom and for your kingdom alone, that we will be your body in the world, the body of Christ, ministering to others faithfully. And we pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Okay, put away the boxing gloves. Listen to the Word of God from Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. "There are 6 days of the week for working," he said to the crowd. "Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath." But the Lord replied, "You hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released, even on the Sabbath?" This shamed his enemies. But all the people rejoiced at the wonderful things he did. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I want to invite you to use your imagination with me for just a moment. We have a picture, hopefully, that'll show up. Maybe it'll help fuel a little bit of your imagination as well. But can you imagine elementary school, or maybe middle school, if that was the way that you went to school, and you're in gym class, and you're all circled around together, and the gym teacher comes out and says, "Okay, we're getting ready to start our new unit. We're going to be playing basketball." And so he chooses two children out of the whole class to go and stand in the middle. And the gym teacher says, "These are your two team captains. Go on and pick your teams. Take turns." And you know how it goes, right? "I want that one." And it's always the one that can shoot the free throws perfectly every time, right? And then they go on down, back, 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 and back. And they kind of gather their team around. And then you get to the very end, and they kind of shrug their shoulders. And they say, "Well, I'll take John, I guess, if I have to. I don't know." But, you know, I was a golfer. I wasn't a basketball player. And so I didn't have all of the coordination, I guess, that you need for basketball. But there is this feeling. We all know what it feels like to be overlooked or dismissed a little bit by that. But it can be all kinds of other things, too. If you were really good at sports, you probably might not have been overlooked all that much. But maybe you could identify with something like this. Perhaps you are part of a company or your school system or even your church or whatever it is, your law firm, your business. You've been working on something, and it's time to make the presentation for all that you've been doing for the last 6 months in your preparation. And so you book a really, really nice dinner over at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse up in Louisville. That's good stuff, right? I've never been there yet. I need to do that. But I hear it's really, really good. And you sit down and you get this view of Louisville all around you, I would imagine, because it's up in a tower. And the server comes out, gets your orders for the drinks and then the food. However, because you're so focused on your presentation, you don't really pay attention too much about all that's going on because you're focused on the CEO, the COO, and the CFO that are right there in front of you. And you make your presentation, and they push back a little bit, and you talk and talk, and you work everything out. And at the end of the meal, it's a success. Everything is done well. The bill is paid, and you walk out of the restaurant, and then it kind of hits you. You know, I never ever caught our server's name. I don't even remember if it was a woman or a man, because you were so focused on the moment that you just overlooked a person. And it's not like we do this like sometimes intentionally or of malice or anything like that, certainly with no boxing gloves intended at all. But it can happen to us every once in a while, being overlooked. And that is this woman's story, this blessed woman. Now, it's hard really to kind of know too much about her life and all that was going on in her life. Maybe we can draw a few little details around about it just because of what we know about their society. She probably was a lot, you know, when we were 100, 150 years ago, you did what? You were born, you grew up in a town, you lived a town, you worked in that town, and then you died in that town. That's kind of how you stayed, typically. And that would probably her story as well. Her little village probably knew her really well. They knew her situation. They probably had opinions about her and what caused her to be so bent over double with this debilitating illness that she had. People can use boxing gloves every once in a while, and they can hurt those sucker punches. No telling what they said about her. And so she sneaked into synagogue after it started. It was pretty clear, actually, about that point, indeed, in the passage. She kind of comes in, maybe hoping to not be noticed all that much. And here's the interesting thing about it. Luke, the writer of this gospel, he commands us as the reader to do something. Now, it doesn't always come out in all as clearly in all English translations, but I promise you it's there. Luke is saying to us as the reader, look, look, I want you to see the woman. She has walked into the synagogue. Pay attention to what's going on here. Now, Luke is giving us a little bit of a foretaste or a foreshadowing of what is to come, because Jesus is going to command us to do something similar as well. But it's wonderful because Luke, he gives us this invitation very much early on in the passage to step into Jesus' shoes and to use his ears and use his eyes and feel what he feels, the compassion that he has immediately for this woman that he sees. And what does he see? He sees a woman with 18 years of being bent over like this. Can you imagine everywhere you go, you don't get to see people's faces. You see your own toes and the dirt road, and that's it. Can you imagine the pain of your spine being bent over like that? For those of you who might have chronic conditions or chronic pain, and that's just become part of your life, you know very, very well that I won't assume for everybody, but I know for times in my life when I've experienced chronic pain for a few years, it begins to mess with your mind a bit. It really, really does, because you start to think, it's always going to be this way? Am I always going to hurt? Is it, there's no way to get out of this? And you get sad, and you lose some joy in your life because it just, you hurt all the time. There's a weight to it. You're bound by this continuous cycle of thinking about how bad you hurt and how it impacts your life and it impacts your thinking and it impacts the joy of everything that you do. And so, you know, you might run church to church late because, well, it just takes a little bit longer to get things going in the morning. Maybe that's what this woman's story was, or maybe it was just because she wasn't quite so sure if she was even worthy to step into the synagogue. There's no telling what they said about her. And Jesus notices, off from the very back there, way over here, I see you. He speaks to her, blesses her, he touches her. It's done. That's it. Jesus is Lord. And he just made one of the biggest territorial claims about one of his people that you could ever imagine. Now, territorial claims can be really quite a funny thing every once in a while in our life. When Julie and I, we had a Maltese dog. And if you don't know what they are, they're little white dogs, little puffy things about this big, 12 pounds is what our dog was. His name was Calvin. I promise to you that as someone who is Wesleyan, I was not naming him after John Calvin. I promise you. I do promise. I wouldn't do that. But it just seemed to us he was a Calvin. And, well, we lived in this house, and thankfully, the front yard, the yard was surrounded by a fence. And we would often sit on our front porch of our house there in Paintsville, Kentucky. We'd eat dinner outside. And if Calvin would see somebody walking their dogs down the sidewalk, boom, off he'd go down to the fence, just be barking his little head off. And he had, yeah, I mean, just looked out like that. In fact, it's funny because that's not our dog, but our dog looked almost like that from behind. And whether it was a squirrel or a Doberman pincher or some other big dog, it was always funny because he'd just be going, little dog syndrome, and the big dogs would be like, what are you doing, Pipsqueak? Walking right on. But we kind of made a joke over it after a while, because every time he would run down and do this, we would say he was saying, this is my territory, get off, you know, and you got to add a lot of country to that too, but you know, just get out of here, squirrel, this is my territory. And that's, I think, what Jesus is doing here. He's described very clearly by Luke as Lord. He uses this fancy word called kurios. Lord. He is the Lord. And Jesus is making this territorial claim against the evil spirit or spirits that have oppressed her in her life. Now, it's interesting, really, I think, because Luke, if you remember, is a physician. And as a physician, he is very careful, I think, to be very clear about things that really are just medical conditions. He knows about it. But he gives us a little bit of an openness there to say, you know, there is something going on here in the spiritual realm. And he's wise enough to be able to discern what's medical and what might be spiritual. And he's saying that she is experiencing oppression spiritually here as well, and it's manifesting itself in her body. And Jesus is saying, I'm drawing the line here with my lordship over this woman because she is a child of Abraham. And he's saying, what has been bound for 18 years on this day is unbound. Unbound. Now, here's where the fun part comes, is you have your friendly pastors like me that can come out of the woodwork, right, Mark? And we get out our boxing gloves and say, oh, no, we got to follow the law, and we got to make sure that we do everything just the way it needs to be done. We think we're going to go put Jesus in a corner, or baby in a corner, if you are from the 80s, but no, that's not what is to happen here. The leader said, yeah, you're healing on the Sabbath. You know that's wrong. You're a rabbi. You know better than that. Jesus, what in the world are you doing? Now remember, the woman was bound, right? Bound by this illness. And so Jesus takes that word and runs with it. And he says, you know what? Y'all a bunch of hypocrites. Not you all, but but the people then. And he says, you would go up to your cow or your donkey on a Sabbath day, and you would untie them, you would unbound them from their post there and lead them out into the field and let them get a drink of water. And yet, here we are, and you won't let me unbind this woman who has been bound by a spiritual affliction for 18 years. Shame on you. It's a daughter of God. What are you doing? What are you talking about here? It's okay to unbind a farm animal, but not a human? Have you lost your vision for what a human being is? Here's where it really gets spicy, though. Jesus then commands them. Now remember, what did Luke say in the very beginning of the passage? Look. Look and see the woman. Look and see what's getting ready to happen. Well, this is where Jesus really gets pretty strong in his voice. And he says, all right, people, look. He interjected. You know how we talk and then we kind of stop and we command people to pay attention? And he's doing that. Jesus is doing that. And he's saying, look, you're not listening to me. Look, you're not looking at her. Look at her. You've been ignoring her for the last 18 years. You've looked beyond her for the last 18 years. You have not had compassion for her. Look. See. See her. She's so much more than a beast of burden. And we will see her today. We will. Oh, the power of a command of Jesus. Look. And then we begin to think a little bit about this woman. And then we realize that this woman is all of us. The church, bound in our past, bent over with the weight of so much of our suffering that we experience in our lives, caused by the enemy of our souls. We each and every one of us know what the feeling of the knots of a rope tied tightly around us feels like. It digs into the skin. It chafes us. It's a different kind of rope than what Solomon was dealing with last week, where his was fraying. These ropes are a different kind. They cut to the deep and the quick. And we ask the question, and we beautifully, I think, reflected this today in the service and the music. Am I really worthy to be unbound? And will someone really see me? Or will they just overlook me one more time? And that's when the cure comes. Are you worthy? Southern Hills? Yes. Yes, you are. Are you worthy? Oh, yes. Jesus sees you. He sees you. And that might be a little terrifying, to be honest with you, because it's like, he sees all of it? But he sees, he knows. He knows. And he will not overlook you. And the deepest thing in his heart, I think, that is burning in my heart today is he would want to say to each and every one of us, myself included, me too, because I need it, is I want to loosen those ropes that are binding you around your body today and let you stand up a little more taller, breathe a little more deeper, and feel a little more peace to be more human. once again. Last week, we talked about Solomon, King Solomon. You remember that? And we talked about how he became unchained from God and his life was bound by sin, really. Horrific stuff, his spiral as he went down. All to the point of, we talked about the sacrifices that were happening one hill away from the Temple Mount. And how he allowed that in his kingdom. How he had fallen and lost a part of his humanity. And yet today, we see how Jesus sees into the deepest parts of us and he restores our humanity and even our dignity that was lost in the Garden of Eden so long ago. And so I would just want to share great news with you. Jesus is restoring us now. And there are some things still where we are still hunched over a bit, and we can still feel those awful, rotten ropes digging in. But, you know, that we sang that hymn from what's his name? He did all of the different Billy. Yeah, Billy Gaither. You know, we sing that was like the hymn, you know, at the end of all of those crusades. And yet here we stand before God. And just as I am, he sees and wants to heal. And so I want to invite you to recall as we sing our final hymn that God is a God of love. God is a God of power, and there is no thing that he cannot unbind in your life. And if you are experiencing a time right now in your life where people have been overlooking you, maybe for a month or a year or 18 years, I want you to know he sees you, and he is here to restore you with his power. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn we verbalize our faith in this Jesus who brings healing. It's been so good to be with you all this morning. And my apologies to Billy Graham. Sorry. Didn't mean to forget your name there really quick. But it is such a joy to be a part of a body of believers that as we walk together truthfully day by day and all of our hopes and our sorrows together, we know that we are seen by a loving God who will not ever leave us abandoned. And so go and let that bubble up in your heart and encourage you this week to know your worth and the humanity that Jesus sees in you, what he has done for you and is doing in you. This is our Lord, and he has claimed you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.